From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the second day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. The folks at the Andersons will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets, and we'll hear about the weather forecast with Bark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Along the way, Todd Hubbs will be here to discuss agricultural trade in particular demand for corn, and we'll hear from U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross about trade negotiations with China on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn today up 2.25 cents, finished at $3.73.5, the March at 3.82, 3/4 higher. May futures at 3.86.5, up 3/4, and July corn unchanged, $3.90.25. December futures 3.91.25, up 0.25 cents. Soybeans, January contract down 6.25, had a pretty good day until early in the morning after some tweets came out from the president, $8.70.5 the settlement price. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The March contract at $8.85.25, down 6. The May at $9.25, 5.5 lower. And July down 4.75 at $9.13.5. November beans $9.24.75, down 2.25. Bean oil futures 46 cents lower at $29.96. And the bean meal for the day at $2.91.30, up 40 cents. December wheat futures down 4.25, $5.43.25, the settlement price. The March at $5.35.25. 6.5 lower in July at 5.38 3/4, down 4 for the soft red. Hard red July at 4.54, down 7.25. Live cattle futures, December contracted $120.75, down 45 cents per 100 pounds. February at 125.80, down 40 cents. January feeders 12.5 lower at $142.15, and the lean hogs December contract at $60.35, down $1.67.5. Energy's trading the crude oil up 86 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures about a penny higher for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel around 0.8 cents higher. And gasoline on the RBOB down a penny and 6 cents at $1.57.4 per gallon. Natural gas is up 5.5 cents for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average down about 200 points. The U.S. dollar down 0.4. And the gold futures $4.20 lower at $1,461.40. Kurt Kimmel is now here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to help us make some sense of what's happened on this first trading day after the Thanksgiving holiday. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us. Hope you had a good holiday with your family.
Did well, and hope everybody else had a good holiday. I know several producers spent a little time doing a little farming over the weekend there, but went by fast, and now we're on to Christmas.
Yeah, we're on to Christmas. So let's start with what happened in the soy complex for the day. Beans, I think, were up. I don't know. Were they up 8 cents at one point?
Oh, boy, I was excited being up 2 days in a row on a Monday, which has been unheard of for the last 6 months. But, yeah, we saw some tweets that President Trump was going to impose some tariffs on Argentina and Brazil, the metals, the aluminum and steel imports. Concerned about them letting their currency devaluate quite a bit and putting the American farmer at a disadvantage. You know, those basically almost third world countries almost, and I don't know what all they can do on it, but Argentina and the Brazilian president both came in and said, well, we'll need some clarification and have to speak to President Trump a little bit one-on-one and kind of see what's going on. The big beneficiary was the steel companies in general. They were up anywhere from 3 to 6% early in the day on this news. If it would materialize, that would improve steel prices here in the U.S. too. But the concern is that Southern Hemisphere, and as that news was fairly well priced in, and we look at the Southern Hemisphere with some favorably good weather for the next few weeks, that kind of limited the bean rally, plus too little concern about Asia in general, getting some clarification or really being able to get to the December 15th deadline on a trade agreement, kind of in question, so that limited the buying interest. But beans definitely on Twitter having a lot of fun with just the atmosphere of beans being the anchor. has been a concern, and then see a lot of spread activity, selling beans, buying corn, selling beans, buying wheat. Even bean oil kind of gave up some gains here. Bean oil has been the kind of the star in the whole commodity complex, bean oil, with the fact that world vegetable oils are tight and world vegetable oils demand, and Malaysian palm oil production is down somewhat. So we saw that market take a little bit of correction here today, Todd.
So we won't really have a good judge on the number of acres and or yield again until we get to January. The crop production report, and while it does come out in the month of December, is not focused on corn or soybeans. However, there was a big storm that made its way through the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. North Dakota has been particularly lagging behind. Do we know anything more about it since the Thanksgiving weekend?
Well, just a lot of concern. The crop under snow, just about like here in the Eastern Belt, a lot of crop was underwater, early on. A lot of photos of that bad situation. But two, here in the East, Wednesday just did tremendous amount of damage for the standing crop. A lot of it's flat now, those 60 to 70 mile an hour winds. It's going to put producers at a test here, getting it picked up off the ground. This afternoon's harvest progress report, corn harvest, it's nation expect to be 89% complete versus 84%. Soybean harvest, 97% versus 94%. So that last percentage is going to be tough coming out, and there's going to have to be quite a bit of loss due to that. Then they came out and talked about the next major report that standing crop in the field will be counted as on farm or stocks, and so we continue to see a lot of moving parts and trying to get an actual handle on yield, acres, and export demand.
Yeah, so USDA in the process of gathering up several reports at the moment. One of them will be the survey as it relates to the final crop production report, which is due in January. There'll be some 80,000 farmers contacted for that one. The one you just mentioned would be for the grain stocks report, and that as well is, that's almost, they reach out to almost all of some 9,000 or 9,500 places that store corn, elevators and such places, plus the stocks that are both in the farmer's bins and in the field. So they'll try to get a good feel for how much grain is left around. But we won't see any of those until January. Do you expect that we'll have much movement in the corn or the soybean market between now and then? Because the bin door seems to be closed. There shouldn't really be too many combines running, I wouldn't think, at this point. And the weather's been really pretty calm and good in South America.
Yeah, we feel that corn and the wheat market both have some legs under or support under it. The corn market did its thing here last week, and we feel March corn's got fairly good support, this 375 area with some upside targets of 405. The wheat, if you go out to May wheat, 525 is fairly good support, and feel May wheat can move on up to this 560 area. And even the beans, these March beans here at this 880 area, if we can kind of catch here, we feel there's 20, 30 cents to the upside. But a lot of it's going to depend on if there's a trade deal or not, or some weather concerns in the southern hemisphere. Then once we get into spring, we start talking about dock strike, port strike. But no, to answer your question, we feel we're just going to have a slow, gradual grind the market, and it's going to take some type of trade agreement or some type of weather event in the southern hemisphere to get the trade off center.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Very good. Take care.
You too. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. Hey, join me when I go on the road in December on the 16th. That's a Monday down in Mount Vernon with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits and the Ag Economist from right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. We'll be out all week with these half-day events. Again, we start in Mount Vernon December the 16th and then travel to Springfield, East Peoria, DeKalb and Champaign. If you get a chance to catch up with us, we sure would love to have you there for one of these events. They start early in the morning and end at the noon hour. Include your meal. You can find all the details at willag.org. It's one of the first stories there. We'll be traveling, of course, with Scott Irwin and Dale Latz, along with Gary Schnitke, Todd Hubbs, and Nick Paulson. You can catch up with us, too. The cost is just $80 at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Just one agricultural news item for the day. This from U.S. Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross, who was on Fox Business earlier today, talking about the negotiations with China. He was asked just exactly whether a phase one deal could be completed.
Let's start just with agriculture. They promised 40 to 50 billion of agriculture. That's really an essential ingredient to any deal. Some parts of IP and the other structural reforms will likely be in phase one, but for the most part, they'll be in a later phase. So the real question is, how far do they go this phase, and especially how enforceable?
Enforcement has been and remains a key ingredient for the Trump administration as it relates to IP or intellectual property rights. The $40 to $50 billion in agricultural trade is a number the president has used in the past. As to when a deal might be struck, well, Wilbur Ross, Secretary of Commerce, says that the time is ticking down.
You have a logical deadline, December 15th. If nothing happens between now and then, the president has made quite clear he'll put the tariffs in, the increased tariffs. What's important is to get the right deal. You can always get a deal quickly. But so meeting a December 15th deadline would be easy. All we have to do is roll over. The key is to get the right deal, whether it's by December 15th or it's later.
Secretary of Commerce Ross made his comments this morning on Fox Business. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's penned another article for the Farm Doc Daily website under the weekly outlook heading. Thanks for being with us, Todd. So this time around, you take a look at demand for corn. What do you find?
Well, I think it's recovering a little bit from the doldrums we saw in September and October, in particular in ethanol. We've seen 9 straight weeks of over 1 million barrels a day average over the last 9 weeks from EIA production data. Last week, we saw a production number that we hadn't seen since mid-July. So that swoon we went through at the end of August into September, where we saw a lot of plants go out, we've seen production pick back up. That's a positive sign for corn demand. We have a really large livestock herd out there, a lot of placements in cattle. The October placements were up 10% over last year. Looks like supply for cattle is up 1%. Massive amount of hog slaughter, up 6% over last year. Broiler placements are up 4% week over week for the last month on anticipation of poultry exports to China. So there's a lot of livestock out there, and I think that bodes well for feed use for corn. I know there's feed wheat out there, and maybe with the increase in ethanol production, there'll be a little bit of distillers grains, but I think that feed use for corn could be pretty strong in the first quarter in particular. The weak man of demand has been basically exports, and it's still lagging quite a bit behind last year. Now, we have seen it pick up over the last few weeks. Net sales have increased 4 straight weeks in a row, but they're no great shakes from what we're used to at this time of year. So while we have seen exports start to pick up a little bit, I'd like to see a little more strength in that as we move into 2020. I think it's feasible. I think maybe Brazil's run through much of that big second corn crop they had. Their prices domestically have gone up recently on domestic demand, and I think they're going to have pretty strong domestic demand next year. So I think you could see corn exports continue to build a little bit of strength as we move into 2020 and possibly be pretty strong latter half of this marketing year if it's true that Brazil's domestic demand's increased precipitously. And, you know, maybe they don't have the massive crop like they did in 2019.
By a little strong, what do you mean?
I think we could see price support a little bit. There's still a lot of uncertainty around the size of the 2019 crop. I still expect to see the yield number come down from USDA before it's all said and done, and maybe some harvested acres come out of the equation as well. But the uncertainty is huge. I'm not saying we're going to see mid-$4 corn. No, you know, we could see a rally up. Right now, you see futures price in January around the 380s, somewhere like that. And basis has been relatively strong, but I think you could see another 15 to 20 cents in corn prices if we can see demand sustain itself and pick up a little bit, and we do get some kind of, you know, minor production change in the January report. I mean, basis is sort of telling the tale here in the Eastern Corn Belt. There's some pretty strong basis, which is telling me that the corn's not being moved. And quality corn, I think, might be an issue in a lot of places as well. I don't know about your listeners, but I've heard numerous reports of test weight problems and a lot of damage in some of this later corn. So quality corn with a little bit of stronger demand and maybe a production shortfall, we could see a little bit of strength in corn prices as we move into 2020. I'm not expecting a miracle at this point, but, you know, a couple of dimes wouldn't hurt.
That lifting's going to come from the cash side as opposed to the future side?
I think you'll see maybe some short covering out of the future side at some point. But I think you'll see it on the cash side, particularly in the Eastern Corn Belt.
Looking into 2020, lots of acreage figures are being released. You put some numbers out last week on the Farm Doc Daily website.
I did. I got corn acreage at around 92.1. I think you'll see a big expansion in bean acreage. I see 2019 as an aberration. I doubt we'll stay down in the 77 million acre range for beans. I could see beans coming in above 85 million acres pretty easily, maybe even higher depending on what the prices look like as we get near planting. Bean prices have been taking a beating lately as looks like the trade deal may be coming apart once again. But we're still seeing pretty good crush out there and exports have been strong. So I think you'll see expansion both corn and bean acreage in 2020. I don't see any scenario where that doesn't happen. I'm not as bullish on corn acreage expansion as USDA is. I will say this, if we do plant 94.5 million acres of corn next year, early sales of 2020 corn might be in order when you're thinking about your marketing next year. Even if we expand it some under current demand scenarios, even though we've seen it pick up a little bit, we're going to need to see it pick up a lot to keep corn prices from falling precipitously in the second half of 2020.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Monday afternoon, Mark Russo is here from Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark. Thanks for being with us. I take it you survived through the Thanksgiving holiday and maybe didn't get stuck too much with snow there in Chicago, but other places sure pick some up. What does it look like for this week? Does the weather get better?
We think it does, Todd. With the pattern throughout the remainder of this week, it's going to be a quiet one across much of the nation's midsection, which again is compares in just stark contrast to what we saw last week, and even just now in recent days with the storm systems that tracked across well the central and the eastern U.S. Now, although the storms are now becoming less frequent over the next week to 10 days, temperatures are going to be quite variable. Still no sign of any extreme cold coming back, at least for the next couple of weeks across the central U.S., but it is always the case at this time of year. We need to keep an eye on things for down the road and some hints that possibly by the end of the month we begin to see at least more significant cold air flowage here into the nation's midsection.
Do we need to be concerned for any reason about the wheat growing regions of the nation?
At this time, no. As we focus on the Plains hard red winter wheat belt, bottom line is that there has been improvement over the past couple of weeks with the systems that have come across of the region. And really, if you look back over the past 30 days, I guess still a few pockets have missed out. But as we look out ahead, The bottom line is that, again, over the next week or 10 days, it will be fairly quiet in terms of precip prospects, but that does look to increase again about the second half of next week. So that's the focus of attention, but all in all, no real big issues with either the Plains Hard Red Belt or the Midwest Soft Red Belt as well.
And what about South America at this time?
Yeah, from a high-level view, down in South America, still there are no signs of any real problems or issues developing at this time, i.e. no sign of any large-scale dryness or any kind of long-duration heat. In fact, for much of Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, and Brazil, the next couple of weeks looks to feature generally near normal rainfall amounts. Of all of the summer crop acreage in South America, Argentina will be slightly drier than normal, but actually the prospects here look better this week for rainfall in Argentina coming up compared to how things looked last week. So the trend is in the upward direction there for rain, and bottom line, still no issues are foreseen developing at this time.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is here from the Andersons today. Hey, Greg. Hi. Thank you for being with us. Hope your holiday weekend went well.
Yes, it went very well. Thanks, Todd.
Well, let's start with what you think the cash grain situation is like today across our area and the Midwest.
Well, I think harvest progress is going to be shown as having very limited progress last week. And this week, after a day or two of wet weather and drying out, hopefully we can resume harvest progress the rest of this week. The weather forecast looks a little bit favorable for some harvest progress, but last week, not real ideal. So a lot of corn up in northern Illinois, Wisconsin, the Dakotas, Minnesota, that still has not been harvested. So we kind of expect those numbers to be a little supportive to the basis levels. It doesn't seem to be helping the futures market out very much, but at least it should support the basis levels.
I would think those numbers would begin to stagnate, though. Of course, USDA will stop reporting them pretty shortly as well.
Yes, and you know, there's some talk about farmers not being able to get into the fields until January up in the Dakotas. So we may not know really what the final production numbers are until sometime after January. It may be January or later before we really know what is and isn't out there.
Are rail bids to the southeast good?
Yes, yes. Combination of harvest being a month later, yields down 10 to 15%, and the board price not being where farmers want to sell, all have combined to make farmers tight holders of corn. So the end users are having to push basis levels to get some corn moved from the commercials.
How booked are they in that part of the world?
Not very far, because typically this is when they can buy corn the cheapest. So they typically are hand to mouth this time of year, and then they start stepping up. So they don't have much coverage on. So that's why basis levels continue to improve. We've seen basis levels improve 5 cents just in the last week to 10 days. And it doesn't feel like there's any sense of urgency or any levels that the farmers are getting close to wanting to sell at. So I think basis levels continue to stay firm as we go through the month of December.
Finally, Greg, what are your bids for the day?
Old crop corn is 387 for December or January. New crop corn, 368. Old crop beans are 855 for December and 858 for January. New crop beans are 880.
Hey, thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can listen to all of our agricultural programming, or most of it in its entirety. And you can also pick up your tickets for this December's Illinois Farm Economic Summits. Those are just, 14 days away now, starting in Mount Vernon and then making our way northward through DeKalb and back to Champaign.